Good morning and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, partner in charge of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created the center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at www.businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Radio Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation this morning is with Ralph Basham, director of the U.S. Secret Service. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning. Good morning, Paul.
And also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Dave Abel. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Paul.
Well, Ralph, could you begin by giving our listeners a history and an overview of the mission of the United States Secret Service?
Yes, I'd be happy to. As a matter of fact, I suppose most people are familiar with the Secret Service's mission with regard to the protection of the President of the United States and the Vice President and members of their families and others. But what many people don't realize and know is that the Secret Service actually had its origins for a totally different purpose. Back following the Civil War, 1865, approximately one-third to one-half of all of the currency in circulation at that time was believed to be counterfeit. And the Secretary of the Treasury at the time, Secretary Hugh McCulloch, approached the President and advised the President that the counterfeiting problem was so significant that it was actually threatening the financial stability of the United States. And that, as a matter of fact, the whole Reconstruction effort of the South was being threatened. So the President, and he asked the President, the Secretary asked the President, if he would authorize the creation of a organization within the Treasury Department to combat this counterfeiting problem. And that day the President did, in fact, authorize the creation of a law enforcement component within Treasury to do that. Ironically, that was April 14th, 1865. That night, of course, those of you who know history, Abraham Lincoln went to Ford's Theater and was assassinated. So one of the last acts of one of this country's greatest presidents was to, in fact, create an organization that would protect the financial integrity and the financial infrastructure of the United States. And we continue to do that today. Another sort of an interesting fact is that the first chief of the Secret Service, his name is William Wood, and at the time he was the director of corrections for the D.C. jail system. And his first three employees were in fact inmates from the D.C. jail system. And but I can tell you, we have done a better job in the since then of recruiting and hiring our agents and officers. But the idea that the first chief had, as well as the Department of Treasury, was if they were in fact going to establish the credibility of the currency of this country, they had to suppress the counterfeit currency from getting into the hands of the public. And the way they did that was through undercover operations. And, of course, these inmates who were in the D.C. jail were, in fact, master counterfeiters. And so he used their knowledge and expertise in order to infiltrate those various operations out there that were, in fact, counterfeiting U.S. currency. And the idea, again, was to suppress it and to prevent it from getting it into the hands of the public. And all of the operatives at the time were undercover. And in fact, the service was in fact a secret service within the Department of Treasury to deal with this problem of counterfeiting. And therefore, that's the name and how the name was derived. And we continue to this day to be the United States Secret Service. And not until 1901, after this country saw in a period of 35 years the assassination of three of our presidents, Lincoln, Garfield, and McKinley, and we were tasked with the responsibility in 1901 to protect Teddy Roosevelt, and was our first actual presidential protection responsibility. And, of course, that's been expanded now that we protect not just the president but vice president, members of their family, heads of state, heads of government that visit this country. And then in 1922, the White House police was established to protect the actual physical building that the president was housed in and other buildings around Washington, D.C., and they are now the uniform division of the United States Secret Service. So that's a little bit of a glimpse of the history and how we came to be charged with the dual responsibilities of investigations and protection. But I can tell you that that early philosophy and methodology of suppressing and preventing crimes from occurring before they hit the public has been one that we have embraced and continue to embrace to this day. We still approach our investigations and protective responsibilities with that idea in mind. We don't want to investigate the assassination of a president. We want to prevent it.
Tell us about the size of your team. How do you think about the Secret Service in terms of the size, and in particular, given the story you told about the first employees, the skill sets of the team?
Well, we're made up of a number of different entities, not only special agents, but uniform division officers, technicians, attorneys, scientists, you know, the normal components that go into an organization such as an investigative protective agency such as the Secret Service. You know, many people ask me today what's the difference between when I came on the job and what we're looking for in people who are coming on the job today. And I tell them when I came on the job, they issued me a gun, a badge, and a horse. And today, it's a gun, a badge, and a computer. They now have a whole different arena that they're dealing in. The skill sets we are interested in today are people who are comfortable in cyberspace, in with computers, and dealing in the financial sector and looking at it from that perspective versus heretofore. You had an investigator, as you would typically look at an investigator's skill sets as being someone who's out there prodding away and knocking on doors. And today, that's changed. Someone sitting thousands of miles away can attack our financial infrastructure with merely a keystroke. And so we're looking for people who have analytical skills, who have computer skills. That's not to say that we still don't rely upon basic investigative skills. Tools and skills that you develop over time. So it's really changed a great deal over the past 10 or 15 years. And we're recognizing that, and not only are we recruiting from that set of skill sets, we're also training individuals in those kinds of skill sets.
You highlighted that the Secret Service started in the Department of Treasury, but we also know that it transitioned into the Department of Homeland Security recently. How has that transition impacted the operation of the service?
Well, the one factor that I think is unique to the Secret Service, whenever we were moved from the Department of Treasury to the Department of Homeland Security, we went intact. Our mission, our resources were all intact when we moved. Others were broken up in some respects, and which did have an effect and has had an effect on trying to bring the department together from those 22 different agencies. But we didn't have to deal with the same sorts of sort of problems that others who were migrated to the Department of Homeland Security had to face. Our mission literally has not changed. Our focus has not changed. Now, what I think we bring to the department is a model in many respects as to what the department's mission is today. It's very, very similar to the Secret Service's mission, and that is about prevention. That is about putting the resources in place and the building the partnerships, which we've had to rely upon for so many years because we are a relatively small agency. We've always had to rely upon state, local, and other federal assets in order for us to accomplish our mission. The department, I think, recognizes that for them to be successful, those same sorts of partnerships with state, local, and other federal agencies have to be there in order for us to be able to accomplish the incredibly critical mission that the department is facing today.
When you mentioned partnerships, it seems like one of the organizations with whom you have to have the most extensive partnership is the Federal Bureau of Investigation. What type of relationship does the Secret Service have with the FBI?
I feel that our relationship with the FBI continues to improve. I think since 9/11, I think everyone in law enforcement, in the intelligence community, recognizes that we need to do a better job of sharing information, sharing resources, and sharing a commitment that we will do whatever is necessary in order to prevent another occurrence such as what happened on 9/11. And the way we do that is by constantly the communications between those various agencies out there you know, the time when keeping a secret from others that could provide some opportunity to prevent something from happening, I don't believe the American public is going to be patient or understanding. If something occurs and the reason that it occurred was because there were turf battles or turf issues, and we've just got to figure out a way to get around those and to push that idea down through the agencies, through the organizations. You know, the director of the FBI, the director of the Central Intelligence Agency, and NSA, all of us understand the need for that cooperation, that sharing. And now it's our responsibility to drive that down through the various agencies and components to make sure that everyone understands that that's a necessity and a requirement if we're going to be successful.
That's an interesting point about sharing. What's a national special security event and what happens when something gets this designation? We'll ask Ralph Basham, director of the Secret Service, to explain this to us when the Business of Government Hour returns.